got to ask you, did Henry Iba affect your coaching in any way?
I think so. I'll tell you what he did. A lot of people didn't know anything about me and Mr. Iba, but Mr. Iba and I had some visits. After a game one night, I'm talking to Bill Connors, and somebody mentions that Mr. Iba wants to talk to you. And I said, well, he's not here. He's down in Texas someplace. He said, no, he's here. And I said, well, golly. So I jumped up and went upstairs to see Mr. Iba. He really was nice to me, Mr. Iba was. Now, a lot of them weren't too nice to me. I don't think Eddie Sutton was too nice to me. I mean, over the years, you know, he's all right. He speaks to me. Billy Tubbs, hell, I did more for Billy Tubbs. I did a lot for Billy Tubbs.
Yeah, what did you do?
Well, I got him some uniforms, and I did some stuff for Billy Tubbs.
Your first year at ORU was the last year at Oklahoma State for Henry Iba. You enjoyed talking to him.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I thought the world of him.
But he was more into defense, wasn't he? He wasn't the shooter.
Defense and slow down.
In a newspaper article later, you give three individuals credit for launching ORU's glory years. You give President Roberts credit. You give Dorsey Sims, who was coaching at Middle Tennessee, credit. He became his friend. And number three, Richard Fuqua. And if there's anybody as good as Fuqua, Tricky hasn't seen him yet.
Well, thank you, Coach.
Well, he pays me to do that.
Thank you, Coach.
Well, he's the best I've ever been around.
Yeah.
Now, there's another one, Willie Brown. My God, what a player he was. He got killed, Willie Brown. He could do things and was not any effort. We were playing one night. There were some guys. They said, does he shoot the ball this far out? I'm sitting there on the sideline. I said, do you all think he's shooting too far out? I'm talking and the game is going on. I turned around and I said, and I don't know what he remembers this or not.
Yeah, I remember.
But
Coach,
I remember. I said, Richard, put one out there. You know,
yeah, I remember.
You know. Well, he takes off on the other side, and his feet come down on this side. So he turned it loose on this other side. One time, there's some people yelling at me. Tony Hinkle was a great coach in Indianapolis. They're all sitting down there, and I'm sitting close, and I hear them yelling at me. The game's going on. I walk down and sit down there beside them. There's three of them. You could tell they didn't know what to do. I'm now sitting down there on their bench. They said, Coach, and he's stuttering like I'm stuttering, said, don't you think you ought to go back to your team? I said, what's the score? He said, you're up eight. I said, well, you know, we're up eight. I don't need to be bothering them now. I'll just let them go ahead and play.
I do remember that about you. You would kind of leave and just walk off and let them play. Yeah. You did that a lot, as a matter of fact.
And talk to the crowd.
Yeah, people were thinking he's supposed to be coaching, and then because you guys were already ahead.
I had a great friend. He's an elderly guy, and I'm not even sure he's still alive. He's East Tennessee. He was a lot older. I was younger, but I was playing at this time. I looked out over there and wanted to know where the coach was. And said, well, he'll be in here in a minute. And all of a sudden, I seen across the gym floor. I jumped over the bench and went across and walked up. My friend came down and put his arms around me and hugged me because I knew him. And everybody in the place looked at him. He was a great friend and a great coach. And stopped the game and talked to my buddy. Now, that's kind of what I'm talking about. How can you get mad?
You were kind of a showman, weren't you, Coach?
I thought it was kind of fun. All right, we're in Wisconsin. We're working out. John Palace, who's my buddy and known him for years, he stuck his head. I said, come on in here. Now, we're getting ready to practice. We're going to have a game that night. Well, I got John Palace in there with me. But it's a game.
Richard, sometimes at halftime, if you were behind, would Coach give a real powerful, inspirational speech? Or was he real mad or come down on your heart? How would he do it?
It all depends. You know, if we ain't hustling or not playing defense, it just depends on the situation, what he'll say to us.
But you know what else he used to do? I used to get up and go outside. I'd leave Moose rolling them in there to do some talking because I knew Moose and him would just drive him crazy.
Who's Moose?
One of my assistants.
So you'd let them do the talking?
Well,
he'd go on.
I'd go outside and get me a Coke. One of the announcers one time, he said, Coach, don't you need to be with your team? I said, well, I don't know. I think we'll be all right. I'll just wait till the game starts. It's just a game.